The million-dollar question is, well, how do I know what to pray? Yeah, that's your will. And then it dawns on you, oh my goodness, I know what God's will is for my life. It's explicitly stated in every exhortation and imperative verb in the New Testament. So when he tells me to love him with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, there in Mark 12, that's a command. That's his will for me.
This is the Grace Story Podcast. Today's guest is Russell Moore, the Vice President of Student Life and Campus Pastor at the Masters University. In recent years, he's been involved in the church scene in Northeast Indiana, pastoring Black Hawk Church in Fort Wayne for several years. Furthermore, he has shown his competency in corporate leadership by scaling his parents' domestic company into an international medical contract manufacturing company. So, Russell, man, you've done it all. Thanks for being on the podcast.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
But I know it's most important to you. So, first questions first. How many grandkids?
Yeah, we have 21 grandkids.
Okay, so we need to start a scholarship program at Grace for your grandkids, it sounds like.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
That could be like my future recruitment plan. Get your kids here.
Well, it could change your numbers.
Exactly. Be headed the right direction for sure. Let's kind of work from most recent back, and we're going to connect. You know, you're working at the Masters University in a role that you used to have.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about how you first got to the Masters, and then talk about why you're there again now.
Yeah. What a great story. I'm so thankful for it. I started my career in ministry at Grace Community Church. I was in the children's division, teaching as a volunteer. Third grade boys had my little kidney shaped table there. And I was in business school at USC, and I was supposed to do a business internship that summer. It was all lined up, but I didn't want to do it. What I wanted to do was get a job at Grace Community Church as a night watchman, because I had heard back in the day, no internet, books are hard to come by, that the night watchman rotation, you walked for 15 minutes, and then you had the keys to everybody's offices. So the remaining 45 minutes, you could get in the pastor's offices, and you could pull down their commentaries, and you could study the Bible. And that's what I wanted to do. Well, I only knew one person at Grace Community Church, really, that I could talk to. It was the children's division pastor. And so I went in there and I said, hey, Roy, I don't want to do this internship thing. What I want to do is it true about the night watchman? He said, yes, it is. But Russell, you don't need that job. I said, I don't need that job. He said, no, we made a decision at the elder meeting last night to hire you. You're coming on staff if you'd like to come on staff. So that's where it started. Children's division assistant to the pastor. And I worked two years with the juniors, primaries, then 2 years with the juniors, and then I became the junior high pastor, which was a big ministry, 350 kids, 50 volunteer staff, because that's the size of our church. That's John's ministry, you know. So that's 85. And so in 1985, he becomes the president of the Masters College then, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, I need you to come out. And I need you to form and create and fashion the student life philosophy of ministry and lead that for us. And so I did. It was so much fun. I did it for 6 years. And then I had originally gone to seminary. Well, coming on staff at Grace allowed me to go to seminary. Sure. My heart there was to become a senior pastor and preach the word. And so I felt after 6 years at TMU or TMC at that time that I would go become. And so I ended up at Black Hawk Church there in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I did that for 10 years. And it was wonderful and I loved it. So after that, there was this 25-year run leading this company, this medical device company, United Ortho, ton of fun. Had a bunch of ministry on the side, but that was kind of my main gig. And I was just in the process of selling it last year. And the phone rang. And it was Dr. MacArthur. And he said, hey, Russell, I have need of you. He said, the guy that had your job back when you were here, that VP job thing, he just told me he's leaving. And there's only one name in my mind to fill that spot, and it's yours. Would you consider coming back? And so my wife and I prayed about that and said, yes, we'd love to.
So there's an interesting, right, like church world, higher ed world, and in business world. You know, I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but what are some biblical leadership principles that apply in all of those contexts that you've led?
Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, obviously, the Word of God is the foundation to everything, right? And so you have a high view of Scripture, and so you try to conform your heart, your mind, your attitude, your aspirations, your goals, your direction, how you treat people to the Word of God. And when you bring that over into education, it looks like that. When you bring it over into business, it looks like that. And when you bring it into the ministry, formally in church, it looks like that. So that's the common thread that I think probably chases me around. More practically, I think where I am strong is in casting vision. So I don't have a lot of tactical skills. I'm not good at much of anything when it comes to doing something. I do two things. I cast vision, and then I recruit and hire people that are way more gifted than I am that can then execute those areas of responsibility. And that was true in education, that was true in business, and that was true in the church.
Wow. Talk a little bit about the company. Your parents founded a company. You take it over, and through those skills of vision and hiring the right people, you know, God blesses. Tell that story a little bit, because I think that's a really interesting thing that you went to business school, but ended up in ministry, but then ended up back in business. Why did you decide to take that shift from sort of a ministry life to a business life, and tell us the story of the company?
Yeah, the shift out of Blackhawk and back into into business just came because after 10 years at Blackhawk, I kind of realized I don't think I'm really a senior pastor. I mean, I love the Lord, I love the church, I love my wife, I love my kids, everything's solid, but I'm not happy in this spot. And one of the elders, Denny Howard, you may know Denny Howard, he was an elder there, and he's a professional counselor, and he could see the fracture lines maybe in my life. And so he said, let's sit down for a little bit and talk about this. So we did a thing called life mapping, and it took only three sessions. He asked me to tell me the story, like I told you. So he says, oh yeah, 2 years you're a primary pastor, 2 years you're the junior pastor, 2 years you're the junior high pastor, then you're 6 years at TMC, but there were really unique opportunities inside of there. So about every 2 years, Russell, you're getting a new gig, and you've been here now at Blackhawk for 6 years. And you probably, how are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so we discovered that I probably needed to be in a more entrepreneurial, dynamic environment, is how we would say it. And so as I returned back to California, our home state, my mom and dad had this little itty bitty local orthopedic braces and supports company. And I was doing pastoral coaching in the early mornings because that was my passion. And then I'd come back around 10 or 11 after I got a shower, and I'd work on the business itself. It's called United Ortho. And the Lord just blessed it. We just found some niches where we could grow, and it grew and grew and grew. And then we realized that we needed to have our own manufacturing if we were going to survive. And so we built a plant in Bangladesh. Started with about 7 employees. And of course, the really fun thing there was, how do you run a business that's 8,000 miles away from you? So obviously, it's who am I going to hire to run that business for me? And I sat down at my computer back in California at the very beginning of the process, and I wrote this letter. I was looking for a missionary. I thought, I could trust a missionary. If I could find a guy who's a missionary who already lives in Bangladesh, who's married, maybe has some kids, stability, maybe I could talk that guy into running my business, right? So I sit down at my computer and I write this letter and I send it out like to 300 different addresses because I knew missionaries everywhere because of all my ministry experience. And I literally, after I push send, I'm kind of sitting there like waiting. Like, this will be great. I'm going to get some responses. No, I didn't get any responses. I got acknowledgments that we received your email. We'll keep our eyes open. But I only got one legitimate person of interest in all those 6 months. And his name was Stefan Blanc. And as God would have it, I'm not making this up, he had been in Bangladesh for 3 years. He and his wife both spoke Bengali. They had 2 kids. And his NGO ministry was a machine shop with a lathe and a this and a that. And their approach to evangelism was to invite these Bengalis in who weren't trained on those kinds of equipments, and they could certify them with that. And then that Bengali could go get a much higher paying job. But it would take 6 months to do that. So they could share the gospel in the context of equipping them to get a better job. It was amazing. And they were winning people to Christ. And but he had this aspiration to actually make something because what they did in their little lab was just pretend, you know, just learn how to use a lathe. And so as I'm writing that very first email 6 months ago, he's 6 months ago starting to sense, I wish I could make something. And he gets my email and I want him to make orthopedic braces and supports. He writes me back. I hired him. He formed my company in Bangladesh. He reverse engineered all the products that we make. He went to China and bought all the machines that we needed. He then imported them to Bangladesh. Then he hired the workers, trained the workers. And by the time we were done under his leadership, we got to over 1,000 employees and we reached that medical grade certification, ISO 13487. We became an international market manufacturing company for companies all around the world. It's so much fun, but it's all because the Lord led me to Stefan.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And you found your gifting, like you found what. And I want to like kind of double tap on that a little bit. Back to Blackhawk and the counselor and life mapping, because I'm sure all of us can relate to at least some stage of our lives, and many people are probably in that stage right now of like, am I doing the thing I'm supposed to be doing?
Right.
So somebody is where you were. And they're asking that question.
Yeah.
How would you advise them, coach them,
yes,
as you have done, to figure that out? Am I where God wants me to be? And you talked a little bit about that in chapel today, mm-hmm, but even more so professionally.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know that God is obligated to get us all in our sweet spot. Right? Like, so I want to say, first of all, if you're not in your sweet spot, but you're working hard and you're bringing glory to God and you're paying the bills, good on you, dude.
Yeah.
Stay at that. Be faithful. And
you talked about that today. Our purpose is clearly outlined in Scripture. There's a lot of commands of what our actual purpose is.
That's correct. Right? So that's huge. That's the baseline. If you're blessed enough to be able to actually make a living in something that you love doing, that's totally bonus. That's extra above and beyond anything you should expect. I would say to ask the people around you. I would try to get a lot of input from the people around you, and I would try to read as much as I could and discover these different kinds of people that exist and what we're good at, and try to find your niche, try to find the place that you line up with. And there's lots of good materials out there for that. And then see if the Lord will allow you to transition into a job where you can provide for your family and maybe be in your sweet spot.
So you spoke in chapel today, did a wonderful job. And so you just give us a little bit of a high level, what you talked about and why did you choose to talk about that at Grace College?
Yeah, so today I talked about praying the Scriptures. And the big shift in my prayer life happened about 5 or 6 years ago, when I was able to make the distinction under this heading of supplication, asking God for his help, that the New Testament teaches two different kinds of prayer requests, right? There's the one where we pray for our circumstances, and that's over there in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and following. And we're praying for the needs in our life, the circumstances, the diagnosis of cancer, the new job opportunity, who am I going to marry? All these very, very important things. And the Lord commands us in that text to bring those to him. And so we do. But we sometimes forget that there's no attendant promise that he's going to answer those, right? The whole point of the passage is to walk in the peace of God. The idea is, bring all your requests to me and let that be enough. That I have given, that you have been given the opportunity to share what really matters to you with the sovereign of the universe. Know he knows now, and he'll give you the peace to walk through the circumstance, whether it's good or bad, right? That's how we pray for our circumstances. But over there in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, there's this promise that I never knew what to do with my entire life. And it's a promise that says, if you pray the will of God, for the will of God, he will hear you. And if he hears you, he will answer that prayer. It's an unqualified promise from God himself. So the million-dollar question is, well, how do I know what to pray? That's your will, because I don't know who I'm supposed to marry. I don't know what job I'm supposed to take. So it doesn't relate over there, right? Right. It does not relate over there. And then it dawns on you, oh, my goodness. I know what God's will is for my life. It's explicitly stated in every exhortation and imperative verb in the New Testament. So when he tells me to love him with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength there in Mark 12, that's a command. That's his will for me. Oh, so I can pray for that on the promise of 1 John 5, knowing that he will answer that in my life. So I pray that over and over and over and over again. And my expectation is God's going to answer that prayer. What would that look like? Well, I'd be more in love with God, right?
Yeah.
I love him more completely. And I believe that's been happening in my life for the last 5 or 6 years as I finally learned to pray this way. Mm. Long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Imperative verb. No question. That is God's will for Russell Moore. Long for the pure milk of the word. Oh, take that over to 1 John 5. Ask anything according to my will. I will hear you. I will do it. So I pray that all the time. Lord, please help me to long for the pure milk of the word. And I feel there's a tailwind in my life. I feel the Holy Spirit is doing, answering that prayer. And moving me in that direction.
Yeah.
So I'm super thankful for that.
Well, we appreciated you gave a book to the students, and it was outlined in a way that I've prayed for many, many years.
Yeah.
of Acts.
Yeah.
Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And what I'm excited to go through the book myself. Just had scripture, right? Under all of those headings to teach us how we can pray. And you even said it, like a lot of us, me included, you know, we start praying and then about 3 minutes in, we're like,
I'm out of bullets.
I don't think I have anything else left to say. I think I kind of said it all. And like, yet we see,
that's
right,
exactly
Jesus
right.
is like praying all night. And like, how do I do this? And you hear about these prayer revivals and you're going,
yeah.
I think I'd get bored. But you kind of gave us some ways to both categorically and scripturally think about how we can pray more effectively. So I appreciate
that's
that
right.
ministry in the word.
Yeah, it's a book about prayer, but it's not a book to be read.
Yes.
Right? It's a book to be prayed. And so that's really all it is. It's thousands of scriptures that are organized under those that acrostic, Acts, you know, and it just gives voice to your heart as you move into those various sections.
That's great. If somebody wanted to get that book, or in general wanted to hear you preach a little bit more, preach on prayer, what are the ways that can find your
book? So that book is available on Amazon, and so you can buy it there, and then in a couple of beginning pages there's a QR code, and I actually preach 4 messages that QR code will take you to that unpack this notion of what's the difference between praying for my circumstances? How do I do that? How do I really do that well? But then how do I pray for God's will in my life, and what does that look like? So that's a way that you could look a little
more. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for sharing your life and testimony and story on the podcast and with our campus today.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening to the Grace Story podcast. Thanks to the marketing team for their work in producing it. And if you would like, share, subscribe with others you think would benefit, please do so. You can always send us questions or comments to podcast@grace.edu. Until next time, live your best Grace Story today.